Well, we're so glad to be able to worship the Lord today. You know, I don't know about you, but didn't really feel like Christmas until this morning a little bit for me. Just kind of hard to get into the swing of it sometimes. But today, we're going to continue the last part of our series we've been looking at about Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And this is part three. Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And then a side name of it is, "That's No Baby, That's My Savior," right? You know, "That's no baby, that's my Savior." And that's how we look at Jesus Christ and what he came to do. And we've kind of approached this from different ways, but have you ever thought you needed something really bad and you really, really, really wanted it? You just had to have it. But then when you got it, you found out it was wrong. And see, that's what the nation of Israel did, and they're much like us. Our lives are somewhat parallel to theirs in many ways. They wanted to deliver to be able to set them free from their enemies. And as we looked at, you know, through this series a little bit, the idea of how somebody had been promised to them that was going to defeat their enemies for them. And they didn't understand really what that whole concept is about, and sometimes we miss it too. But see, God knew what they really needed. They wanted to deliver from their natural enemies, but God also knew better, that he knew what they really needed, and they needed to deliver not from their enemies, but the biggest enemy that you and I will ever face in our life, and that's the enemy called sin. And that's why Jesus Christ came. And I'll be honest, growing up as a kid, I understood bits and pieces about, you know, Jesus Christ and, you know, everything. I'm going to go into a little bit of my testimony today. But, you know, I prayed to Jesus every night that I can remember. But he was so far away. And I didn't really understand why it was that he came. You know, the concept of a baby, you know, coming to save us from our sins and, you know, all these things just didn't really connect in my head. And it was hard to figure all these things out. But, you know, I'm so thankful that when you become born again, you start to understand things. And that's what Christmas is about to me. I'll be honest, God's given me a lot of great revelations in my life. But one of the greatest revelations, I don't want to say the greatest, but was the first time I sang a Christmas song after I was saved. There is so much in those songs that just totally life-changing. It just changes your whole perspective on what Christmas is all about. And just the depth of that revelation when it talks about the second birth. Now, week one, we looked at that Jesus was the light of the world. I'll just touch a couple things here. And, you know, people, he was mentioned in there in Scripture that they were walking in darkness and could not see where they're going. And that's what happens sometimes in our life. You know, we walk in darkness, we don't know where we're going, but we're going that way because everybody else is heading that way. And then after that, the second week, we looked at God knows how to keep a promise, and that was last week. You know, Isaiah 7:14, we touched on that one a little bit, as well as our main scripture here. And it talked about God giving people a sign. You know, a sign is for people who are lost and don't know where they're going, and we would fit into that realm. The idea that we need a sign, and the sign wasn't really what they thought they was going to get. You know, God, the people of Israel probably thought God was going to raise up some big deliverer, some mighty man of war. And God sent a baby. Just out there. What's up with that? But there was a reason for it, and we went into that a little bit and how it did. And the idea that we boiled it down to is the idea that if you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. And that's what God did. It couldn't be done right by man. But God had to come down himself and do it for us. Because Adam failed. Adam had no sin in his life, but yet he chose to walk away from God. So it took God himself coming down, walking inside a man. And he came and he paid the price and set us free. And that's what Christmas is really all about. Our scripture we're going to look at today is our main body, and we've kind of whittled this thing down from different ways. And today we're just going to boil it down to one verse. And that's in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the power that's in your Word of God, the transforming power to be able to change us from the inside out. Lord, I thank you. It's not by the natural, but it's by the supernatural. And Lord God, I just thank you for the anointing that's here. That the anointing to be able to bring revelation knowledge and let it ring true in our hearts. What it is that we have to do and how we need to respond to your message to us, Lord. I yield to the gift you give me, Lord. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we know that Jesus is the Messiah or deliverer, however you want to look at it. And this passage here talks about four different names, and they're not really names. I mean, Jesus has a lot of different names in Scripture, but what these are really kind of talking about is different attributes. And when he came, he manifested all these attributes as he walked upon the earth, and these attributes is something that we can all tap into. So we're going to look first at the messianic attributes until we get into some other issues here. So the first one's Wonderful Counselor. And I'll be honest, some of these things are a little abstract, you know, and you're thinking how you can boil that down and, you know, being able to glean something, what can it do to help me? And really what I got from this is the idea as the Wonderful Counselor, if you think about it, it was bad counsel. Has anybody ever had some bad counsel? I think we all have. Well, it was bad counsel that got us into this problem. Remember, Satan came in the form of a serpent and started to talk to Eve and gave her some counsel. You know, this is what God's doing. God said, you know, this and that. He don't want you to have this because then you'll be like God. And that bad counsel is what separated us from God and made that division or that barrier called sin. So it's only natural that Jesus Christ is called the Wonderful Counselor. He came to give wise counsel, godly counsel, the only counsel that can come from above. And that's the information that we need. And, you know, and then I'm sure it was a heartbreaking situation when Jesus finally revealed to his followers that, hey, I'm leaving. But don't worry. I'm going to send somebody just like me. And that was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be our counselor. He can be the one that lives inside of us. And to be able to lead us into truth. Because truth is what sets us free. A lot of people don't like truth. Truth, you know, sometimes when we speak truth, they think, oh, you're a hater. No. Truth is the highest form of love there is. Because truth is what sets us free. That's what sets us free. Jesus says when you know the truth will set you free. So that's why we need wise counsel in our decision making here on earth. Next, it talks about Mighty God. Now, that's a no-brainer. You know, it proclaims His deity. Jesus is God the Son. You know, we believe in the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen? So we know that Jesus is our warrior. He's our battle champion. He's our hero. I hope Jesus is your hero today. Because everybody needs a hero. Now, I used to have some other heroes. People that I used to follow. And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ that have their heroes. You know, they follow this pastor. They follow that pastor. Well, then pastors fail. They stumble. And then their faith is totally uprooted. I don't know how many times in my walk with God in the 30-some years that I've been saved that, you know, people have come to me and told me that, you know, they've lost their trust and faith in God because so-and-so, you know, has stumbled or this has happened. You know, when big TV preachers bite the dust, it upsets the faith of so many. But who are they following? They were following the wrong person. We need to follow the person of Jesus Christ. He's our warrior. He's the only one who could go and to be able to pay the price. He fought the good fight of faith, and he won the battle. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. I don't know about you, but that's some pretty tough stuff right there. Amen? That's stuff that we can put our faith and we can put our trust in. That we don't have to bow our knee to the devil or anything that he throws at us. We don't have to fear death. A lot of people think death is the end, but death is just a continuation. And it's a better continuation because we no longer have this flesh and blood body. This body that is prone to evil and do wrong things. We'll have the victory, the total victory, as we remain faithful to what God has called us to do. So take Jesus on. As your warrior, let him fight your battles. I know in my life, I've tried to fight the good fight of faith. And I'll tell you what, sometimes my faith will waver. But I do know this, every time I let Jesus fight my battle, I always win. I've never lost a battle that I've let Jesus Christ fight for me. Because he is the dread champion. He's the champion that can overcome everything. Next, it talks about Eternal Father. You know, not God the Father, but Jesus is part of the planning of creation for all eternity. You know, when God said, let us make man in our image, there was more than one. God consulted among themselves. So the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all equal. And how we need to understand that revelation and what it means. And how Jesus is the eternal Father that was in the planning of all creation for all eternity, and how we can trust in that. Now next we're going to look at the idea of the Prince of Peace, and then we're going to jump into this a little more. See, the Prince of Peace, that's talking about a peacemaker between God and man. We needed a peacemaker because, you know, sin separates us from God. And we need to have that peacemaker that comes in. You know, usually there's a peacemaker in the family. I hope you have one. If you don't have one, it can make for some rough family get-togethers, can it? You know, somebody in there, they just all get to fussing and fighting and arguing about this and that. But then you got the peacemaker. You know, the peacemaker comes in there and they try to bring reconciliation. They try to help people to get along, to see the big picture. You know, it's really not about this or not about that. Hey, it's about family. Come on, let's just get along. You know, let's just turn off the TV and all the fighting and all that stuff. And, you know, let's just enjoy each other. You know, and that's important. We need that peacemaker because we were at odds with God, even though we don't want to admit it or don't want to understand it. We are separated from God. We're born that way, and there's nothing that we can do about it to be able to change that situation. So the only way you can have peace in your life is to know the Prince of Peace. And that's the most important thing that we can do, and that's what he's called here. The next point I want to look at is something that you've probably hopefully seen somewhere before, maybe on a bumper sticker. And I broke it down a little bit more. No Jesus, no peace. If there's no Jesus in our life, we don't have peace. You know, the word peace in the Hebrew is talking about the word shalom. Have you ever heard that one? Shalom. You know, and it's talking about the idea of peace. And if you break this down, peace equals total well-being and wholeness. In the Message Bible, it says that Jesus was the Prince of Wholeness. Do you want to be made whole? It's talking about prosperity, success, welfare, state of health, friendliness, deliverance, and salvation. And all these things that you know, maybe you never thought about. Usually just peace, it just means there's no confusion. But see, this is talking about a little more depth of really what the peace of God's about. See, when God does something, he does it big. He does it more than we could ever ask or think. And when you and I tap into the peace of God because he loves us so much, we're able to get tapped into all this prosperity and all this well-being and all these things that we're looking for. Now, have you ever, you know, I don't do a lot of cooking anymore. Every now and then, although I did make some good chili yesterday, I will say that. Have you ever made a recipe, and then when you tasted it, there was just something missing? It just didn't taste right. You know, there's something, you know, I won't say it tasted funky, you know, maybe put something bad in it, but, you know, just something missing. And what it is, you know, the meal will still fill you, but it's not satisfying. It doesn't really hit your taste buds like you want it to. Oh, yeah, you're going to eat it, you're going to gain weight, you're going to, you know, however that works, you know. It's going to give you nourishment, but it's not pleasurable. And see, what I believe is that peace is the missing ingredient in most people's lives. And that's why life doesn't taste good, no matter how we try to flavor it. You know, we try to flavor life in so many different ways. We put so many different things in it. And what I feel is that, you know, when peace is missing out of our life, we try to find it in different ways. And I really feel that it helps us to make bad choices. And it's those bad choices that lead us down a road, a path of destruction, where we become farther and farther and farther away from God and where God wants us to be. See, God has a plan for our life. And God has a good plan for our life. Not just for somebody you think that's special, you know what I mean? Those special people that look real spiritual and, you know, all that. But God has a plan for each and every person. But what happens is that if we make a lot of wrong choices, and been there, did that, you get farther and farther away from where God wants you to be. And farther from that connection that we need to be able to bring peace to our life. So then that forces us to go out and what I call is kind of a quest for peace. And we try to fix the symptoms, but we can never get to the solution of how we can find that peace. And I think sometimes we try and buy it, you know, thinking that, you know, possessions is the answer. So we go and buy a lot of stuff. And then we think we're going to be so satisfied now, it's going to bring peace to my life. But then when we get it, or maybe we get the credit card bill, pray, amen, you know what I'm saying, next month, you know, no peace, man, no peace. Maybe we try to fix the symptoms thinking, you know, that also we try to self-medicate. There's a lot of people that self-medicate. They try to find peace that way, whether it be through drugs or alcohol or, you know, maybe even food or all these different things. We think that, you know, we can try to satisfy that hunger, you know, that need that's inside of us, that we just know that something's missing. There's some ingredient in our life that's not there. So we try to fill it with all these things. Other people try to throw their lives into their job, their career. They think that, oh, if I just work all these hours and make all this money and I do all these things, I'll be important and all these things. And, you know, it's going to make me bring peace to my life because I'll be somebody then. Because I have authority. I'm a manager or I'm a leader on this team or whatever the case may be. But, you know, there's no peace. Because all that's going to give you is greater responsibility. And it's going to bring chaos to your life sometimes if you're not prepared for it. You know, a little bit about my story is that, you know, when I was born, you know, I've always had a heart for God a little bit. And I've told this in small group. I don't know if I've really told it here or not. But in my life, I've had two visions of Jesus Christ. And, you know, in both of those times, whenever, you know, there was something going on in my life that was sort of chaotic and sort of problematic. I was young. And, you know, no big deal to most people. But for me, you know, there was just something wrong. And then when I, this vision, whenever, you know, I had that, whether it's a dream or a vision, all of a sudden, this euphoric feeling of peace came upon me because of Jesus Christ. And, you know, you can't explain it. It's just a feeling. It's just all of a sudden when chaos and you're all, you know, just out there, then all of a sudden he just comes on the scene and everything's all right. You know what I'm saying? So I felt, I had that feeling to go on. So you couldn't tell me ever since I've been, you know, that I can remember that God's not real. I mean, you know, granted in, you know, junior high when they started teaching me evolution, you know what I'm saying? That kind of messed with my belief system a little bit. You know, all that silly stuff. But, you know, primarily I had something to go on. But then what happened in my life, it's no excuse, it's my problem. They closed my church, and I've told this before. The Methodist merged with the United Brethren, I believe. I was just a little feller. And for whatever reason, the other church must have had a better building, and they closed our church. Now, it affected me. As a little feller, you know, how could they close a church? What happened? What happened to God? They closed my building. And so it affected me in a way that I had some stupid belief system come up out of me then, is that I don't have to go to church. I can just believe and do whatever I want, and I don't have to go to a building to worship God no more. I got, you know, I can just believe God all by myself. Didn't work. Didn't work at all. Because I was not receiving any input, spiritual input from people who were God had placed to be able to speak into my life. I no longer went to Sunday school. I no longer heard a pastor preach a sermon. And so I just went off and did my own thing. And to find that peace then, it led me farther and farther away from God. To find that peace. I prayed to Jesus every night. I'm not going to lie to you. No matter what I was doing, no matter what I was involved in, I prayed to Jesus every night. I knew that much. But I didn't know him. I only knew about him. And that was a major problem. And no matter what I did to try to fill that void in my life, I could not find that peace that I'd experienced as a young boy when I really was sort of in the presence of God when Jesus revealed himself to me. So I couldn't get back to that place. Because, see, I had something to compare it to. And that's why it's so important that we get our kids in church. You know, granted, some of them may stumble and fall and get confused and stuff along the way. But, you know, for me, that just that little bit as a kid, and that's why we do what we do on Wednesday night here. Reach out to so many kids whose parents don't go to church because we're trying to give them something that they can grab a hold of and to come back, because that's the only hope they have. It's the only hope they have. If not, they're lost for all eternity. And just that little touch brought me back. And even though, you know, it took a process of time and however it was, but finally I came to my life, the idea that I surrendered my life to Christ. And when I did that, I found that peace again. I found that peace again. That peace had been eluding me for 20-some years. That peace I experienced as a young boy finally come flooding back into my life, because I started to do it God's way. I just didn't go off half-cocked and doing it my way. I followed what God told in Scripture, and the Prince of Peace came into my life. And that's my last point today, is to know Jesus is to know peace. See, the problem that what I had when I was growing up, when I had that attitude that I didn't want to know God. See, part of my personality, you know, there's people that's told me I'm like a pit bull. In the sense that when I grab a hold of something, I won't let go. You can beat me with a stick. You can call me names. You can do whatever you want. But if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. And you ain't going to stop me. That's a blessing and a curse. You know what I'm saying? You know, it can go both ways. Because when I was young and rebellious, when I said I didn't have to go to church and I didn't have to, you know, I know Jesus is the answer, but, you know, Jesus died for the church. He died for people, and people come together and they worship together. See, I threw that all away. And that's what really messed me up. Because I locked onto that till finally he revealed to me. And I kid you not, ever since I got saved, you can't beat me away from church. They might as well have gave me a key out there in Denver, because I was one of the first ones there and I was one of the last ones out the door, because I knew that's where life was. That's new where I could connect with God at, and I could receive the truth of Jesus Christ, of godly men and women speaking into my life, helping me in my process and my progress with God, because that's where I come to know God, through the church. So we need to let the Prince of Peace rule in our heart. You know, he's the solution to that very complex problem that you and I all deal with. You know, he created us for fellowship with him. And that's the only place we're ever going to find that peace. He completes us. You know, a lot of people think they're not complete unless they find another person. You know, I've told this story and I don't want to keep on rambling here. But, you know, when I was in Bible school, you know, like I've said before, that I used to date, but I didn't date right. You know, I dated wrong. So after I got saved, I quit dating because I wanted to get it right. Well, finally, I come to the point in my life, I figured I had it figured out. I'm safe to date now, you know what I mean? I'm a Christian now, and I'm going to treat women, you know, the way they need to treat it and all that stuff. Well, then all of a sudden, Bible school, they was teaching about the Holy Ghost. Come to find out, everything that was in the Holy Spirit was really the companionship and fellowship that I was needing in my life. So I put dating on hold again for a while. And I started to seek after God, and it's, God, reveal your spirit to me. Help me to know in a better way the comforter, the wise counselor. You know, come into my life and start to reveal himself to me. And through that, he revealed to me Jesus Christ in a deeper way. And then you do know I got married and had 3 kids. I mean, that's all history. So, amen. So we're not going to go through all that. But, you know, what I found out in my life is that first God does it to us, and then God will do it through us. And we need to be part of the solution and not part of the problem. And if we let Jesus Christ come into our life and we start to let him change us, because the Prince of Peace, the word prince, if you look it up, it'll also mention ruler. There's other things, but you know, he's the ruler of peace. And for peace to rule in our hearts, Jesus must rule in our hearts. And that's the key. In my attitude, I did not want to submit to authority. The authority that God had ordained in the church. I wanted to do it my way. So peace could never rule in my heart until I let Jesus Christ come in and rule in my heart. And then I could submit to authority. Because I had the peace of God, and He gave me revelation, understanding for that. So we need to let the peace of God, we need to let Jesus Christ come into our life to be able to take control. And that's really what Christmas is all about. You know, we need to let Jesus rule over our circumstances. We need to let Jesus rule over our emotions. We need to let Jesus rule over our mind. Time and time again, we allow these three areas of our life to get out of control. We can go along good till maybe our circumstances change. You know, we have fair weather faith. You know, we follow God as long as things are going our way, but as soon as things go the wrong way, well, God must not love me. I'm going to go the other way. I'm not going to follow Him. Or maybe we get emotions. Maybe we get mad at somebody. You know, like I've always said, back in the old days, we had maybe 15 people at church, and we had a visitor one day. She hated one of the other people in the church. What's the odds? I mean, jeepers. What's the odds of that happening? Well, they never came back because they hated that person so much. Their emotions controlled their life. So they couldn't get behind it. And then our mind, you know, so we don't think on wrong things. So the only way that you can have peace is to know the Prince of Peace. And it's just not knowing about Him, but it's really knowing Him. You know, when we come to Christ, it's not about giving up or giving in. It's about giving it over to Him. And that little baby grew up to be a man among men. He's the God-man. 100% God, 100% man. As we celebrate the birth of Christ today, know that that was only the starting spot in the stable. When Jesus Christ came and walked on the earth and grew, you know, he had a mission that he had to fulfill. He came for one thing. He came to die. He came to die for you and me. That's why he came. Are we willing to lay our life down for other people? Are we willing to sell out and let Jesus Christ come in and rule in our heart? Because that's what it's all about. Let Him rule and reign. We get one life to get it right. If you don't get it life in this right life, it won't get right ever. And that's why it's important that we give Jesus the greatest gift of all, and that's to give our hearts to Him. Amen. He gave His life for us. We need to give our hearts for Him. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the penetrating power of your Spirit just speaking to each and every one of us in our hearts and in our minds right now. Lord, knowing that we were born separated from God, no matter how good we may feel or think we are, that we're born a sinner, separated, and that's why Jesus came to be our Savior. You know, we believe that, you know, God says, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before the Father. But if you confess me before man, I will confess you before the Father. I want to give you an opportunity today to make your peace with God. Maybe peace doesn't rule in your heart, and you can't remember a time that you've asked Jesus in and you let Him take control of your life. Just slip up your hand if you'd like to do that today. Or maybe you have and you feel you need to rededicate. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. I'd like you to come forward. You raise your hand. We want to pray with you. Amen. We don't bite. Amen. Come on up. We'll pray and ask God to come into your life. Just wait right there and I'll come down to you.